For those of you who do not know me, my name is Niku. I work at this church. For those of you who do know me, I don't always wear this when I speak to people, especially in small rooms like this. This is just for the recording, by the way, just so we can. So if you do hear something come through, then that's great as well, but that's not what it's for. Great. So we're continuing our series. Looking at Hebrews, we can have a slide on. Thanks, David. Hebrews 11 by faith, and tonight I have the wonderful privilege and the immense challenge to look at probably one of the most influential guys in the Old Testament, Moses. So let's read Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 28. If you want to use your Bibles, you're welcome to do that. It will be on the screen as well. So, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. What a guy. What a guy. That kind of says it all. He was probably the best known hero of faith because of all he had done for the Hebrew people. He helped free the Hebrew people from slavery in Egypt. He led this huge mass of unruly refugees through the desert, keeping order, and brought them to the border of their future home. He received the Ten Commandments from God, no less, and communicated it to the Lord's people. He authored the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible. And his careers in his lifetime involved being a prince of Egypt, a herdsman, a shepherd, a prophet, a lawgiver, a covenant mediator, and a national leader. What a CV. What a CV. No wonder he was David Livingstone's favorite Bible hero. And many of us here probably as well. I know Alwyn appreciates the life of Moses a lot. He accomplished so much, and yet the biggest thing the writer of Hebrews comments on is Moses' faith. None of his accomplishments is as important to the writer of Hebrews than his faith. The writer of Hebrews is actually telling the reader that Moses was only able to do all these remarkable things because of his great faith. But what is faith? The big, big question. What is faith? Would anyone like to hazard a guess? Yes, I'm reaching for the mic. To be recorded for eternity. Anyone want to try? Anyone want to give an answer? Brian.
I see a chair. I know I'm big, but I have faith in the chair, so I sit down.
Right, I'm going to repeat that because you didn't speak into the mic, Brian. So Brian said, I see a chair, I have faith.
I know I'm big.
I see a chair, I know I'm big, I have faith the chair won't break, so I sit down. Okay, that's an example of faith. Yeah, that's right. Anyone else? Anyone, that's quite a good example of faith. All of you are sort of wondering now, are these chairs? Alwyn.
I'm going to cheat, but it's not really cheating.
Yeah.
Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.
Yes, that's the right answer. We're going to get to that slide in a little bit. Alwyn, actually, that's great. You just stole my thunder, but that's fine. According to the Oxford Dictionary, faith is the complete trust or confidence in someone or something, and or strong belief in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual conviction rather than proof. Hebrews 11 verse 1 describes faith like this. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And it is for this faith that Moses is counted among the heroes of faith. Confidence in what he hoped for and assurance about what he did not see. it wasn't just faith. It wasn't just the complete trust or confidence in someone or something. It was complete trust and confidence in God that made him a hero of faith, mentioned in the Bible. So Moses lived to be 120 years old, and the Bible says his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated at the end. This, by the way, is not a real picture of Moses. Just so we're clear on it. His life, Moses' life, can be divided into three parts of about 40 years each. His birth until the flight into Midian. That's the first 40. The second 40 is from the flight into Midian to the Exodus. And then his final 40 years from the Exodus to his own Exodus, to his death. So, in his first 40 years, Moses learned to be a somebody. He was the adopted son to Pharaoh's daughter. So he was Pharaoh's grandson, technically. He was educated by royal tutors, the best there were at the time. He was definitely in the mix for becoming the next king of Egypt. And he was probably one of the only Hebrew men of his age at the time, because Pharaoh killed all his contemporaries when they were young. He was the most eligible bachelor of his time, probably. Surely, he could use this opportunity to become Pharaoh and change the history of the Israelite nation forever. And yet, he denied himself, according to Hebrews, he denied himself all these pleasures and opportunities because of his faith that there is something better. His faith that God has something better for him and the Israelites. Moses' faith did not depend on him being a somebody. It wasn't his title. It wasn't his position in life that gave him the faith. So he left behind being a somebody because he believed God had something better in store. How are you doing tonight? What does your faith look like tonight? Is it based on the position in society you have? Is it based on the office you hold or the job you do? Is it based on your income, how much you can give to the church, or how big your bank account is? Does your faith hang on the friends in high places you have? The opportunities that these can afford you? What if God asked you tonight to lay all of that down for the sake of his glory, for a better future? Would you have the faith to trust that there is something even better than all of this combined? So, Moses' second 40 years. Moses left behind being a somebody, which of course led to the second 40 years, where he learned to become a nobody. You see, it was in the desert place, in the menial jobs of tending sheep and working for his father-in-law, an exile of Egypt, a foreigner in a foreign land, as he named his son for some reason, where Moses was taught that titles, societal standing, and opportunity had nothing to do with God's calling if he had faith. That the lack of all these things had nothing to do with God's calling if he had faith in God. He persevered at trying to be a nobody, as inconspicuous and anonymous as possible, until the incident at the burning bush, of course. We all know that story. He even tried to convince God that he wasn't the right man for the job. And yet, God told him to go. And he did. Moses gave up being a nobody because he believed God's reward for faith and faithfulness was better than his anonymity. How are you doing tonight? What does your faith look like tonight? Is it hindered by your lack of opportunity, or standing, or finances, or influence? Do you feel that others are more important to you and therefore have more influence? Have you ever heard the call of God and then made every conceivable excuse not to follow him? You're in good company. Moses did exactly the same. But then the change happened. He believed there was something better if he kept his faith in God. He left behind being a nobody of his faith because of his faith in something better, someone bigger. That is why he went to the people of Israel. That is why he convinced them to get their things ready before it was a certainty that they would be freed. That is why he was able to lead the Israelites to freedom, because of his faith in God. And then in the final 40 years of his life, Moses learned that God was everything. It didn't revolve around him being a somebody or a nobody anymore. The whole focus of his faith shifted towards God, and especially towards intimacy with God. As the leader of God's people, in being faithful to his calling, despite uncertainty and opposition, they were an unruly bunch, weren't they? He became someone who could speak to God face to face, as a man speaks to his friends. He left behind being a somebody, then left behind being a nobody, to learn that intimacy with God is everything. How are you doing tonight? What does your faith look like tonight? Has your faith shifted from being a somebody or a nobody to being intimate with God? Have you surrendered your whole life, every victory and every defeat, every joy and every pain, every hope and every broken dream to the greatest reward we can ever have? The reward of intimacy with God. Now, don't get me wrong. Moses is a hero of the faith, but he wasn't perfect, by no means. And I feel that these aren't set times in his life where that was, where for every 40 years it was the sole focus of being a somebody, being a nobody, and being intimate with God. I find in my life that in certain areas, in certain patches, I am a nobody or feel like one. In other patches, I feel like I'm a somebody. And in other patches, I feel like I'm really intimate with God. But the great reward is leaving behind all of that and being intimate with God. That is the great, great reward. And the wonderful thing is we have the opportunity to be intimate with God, to get to know him as a friend right now, and tomorrow, and the day after that. Here's a question. Which of these sentences describe your faith tonight? I'm trusting God for a new job, a husband, a wife, money, a new car, etc. You can fill in the blanks there. Or, I am trusting God. One of these is limited to whatever we seek or desire in the moment. The other is rather indefinite. It's broader. One says, I can't move on before I have this. The other says, if God cares for the sparrows, he'll care for me too. One suggests limited faith for the moment, which is better than no faith, I think. And the other suggests limitless faith for whatever life may throw our way. One says, I only need God for these things, and I've got the rest sorted. And the other says, I'm nothing without God. Moses' life is an incredible example of someone totally surrendered to God's will and completely sold out on the promises of God. The danger, however, is that we can limit our own faith. Oswald Chambers says this, faith for my deliverance is not faith in God. Faith means whether I am visibly delivered or not, I will stick to my belief that God is love. There are some things only learned in a fiery furnace. Now, we all know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you know those guys? It's a Bible story. Daniel 3, if you want to read it. I'm going to read one verse from it. Probably one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. So the backstory is, for those of you who may not know this, is these three friends of Daniel, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, says, everyone needs to worship this statue of myself when the music starts playing. And these three guys say, no, we will not. We serve God, we love God, we will worship him alone. And so they are taken before the king, and he is really angry. He said, why do you not worship me? Why do you not worship the statue of me? And then verse 16 says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand. And this is my favorite verse. He says, but even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Even if God does not save us, we will not worship your statue, worship your gods. You see, faith, after all, is a choice. In every circumstance, we have the choice. Let's try this experiment. I hope this works. I'm going to leave this here. I'm going to turn my back. It's a jar full of M&Ms. I'm going to turn my back and see if anyone has taken anything. No, I'm just kidding. So I need, let's say, 3 volunteers. Right, Rachel, please. Rachel, you can just sit there and just shout out the answers. I'll write them down here. So, 2 more volunteers. Alwyn, yeah, great. Alwyn, 1 more. 1 more volunteer. Don't worry, I just need your bank details and your sword poses. Thanks, Ellie. no, I'm just joking. So what we're going to do is so Rachel, Alwyn, and Ellie are going to guess how many M&Ms are in this jar. And then, to give you a heads up, I'm going to ask you what your favorite song in the whole world of all time is as well. Just your favorite song of all time. Okay, so let's see. Let's write down something. Let's see. No, let's use this one. Rachel. How many M&Ms do you think? You can't count them that quick. How many do you think there are?
145.
You will see that my poker face will give away nothing of how close that is or not. Alwyn, how many do you think there are?
270.
Alwyn, 270. Ellie, how many do you think there are?
120.
Right. So, next thing. Rachel, what is your favorite song of all time? No pressure. Oh, good one. Clocks by Coldplay. Right. Alwyn, favorite song of all time. If you say something by the Blues Brothers, I will be heavily impressed. Baba Black Sheep. That is that's good. That's, Timeless, I think, is a good description for that. Ellie, what is your favorite song of all time? Nobody does it better. Nobody does it better by Carly Simon. I hope I'm spelling this correctly. She'll probably not listen to this recording anyway. Well, she'll not see her name misspelled. Right, so let's see. Who came closest to being right? I can tell you, verified by our independent auditors, myself, that there are 274 M&Ms in there. I can tell you that it's exactly 4 packets of M&Ms as well. So Alwyn came closest. Well done, Alwyn. Yeah, you came pretty close. So the big total was 274. Now, who came closest to being right about their favorite song? Who came closest to being right about their favorite song? It's a trick question. There is no right answer to this. Sorry, I just need to find my notes. Your favorite song is, of course, a matter of choice. You're not guessing what your favorite song is. You choose what your favorite song is. So when you decide to put your faith in God instead of yourself or anything around you, is that more like guessing the number of M&Ms, or is it more like choosing your favorite song? It's more like choosing your favorite song, because faith is a choice we make, a choice to hold on to the promises that God makes because he is trustworthy. It is a choice that to let our actions be determined by what we believe rather than having our faith being determined by our circumstances. Who here has ever had a headache? Yeah, great. Imagine you get a headache. Imagine you walk to the medicine cabinet or wherever you keep your paracetamol or aspirin. You take out the bottle of said medicine. You read the label. You read the instructions. And then you place the bottle back in the cabinet without taking a pill. You believe what it says on the label. You believe that it is what it says on the label, what the pills are, the aspirin or the paracetamol, it says on the label. You believe that this pill can help take away your headache, but you choose not to take it. Faith always, always, always leads to action. Otherwise, it can't be faith. Nelson Mandela said this lovely quote. I love this. May your choices reflect your hopes and not your fears. May your choices reflect your hopes and not your fears. William Booth describes the connection between faith and action like this. He says, faith and works should travel side by side, step answering step, like the legs of men walking. First faith, then works, and then faith again, and then works again, until they can scarcely distinguish which is the one and which is the other. Faith by itself is no good. Action by itself is no good. It's when those two walk together that things happen and things change. There is, however, something to be said about the link between faith and suffering. Having great faith doesn't always mean a smooth ride through life, however much we would have faith for that to be true. That's not how it works, it seems. All the great heroes of faith, both modern and from the Bible, experience suffering because of their faith. It's not easy having faith. Jesus said this. This is to be expected when we follow him faithfully. In a world that doesn't quite understand the craziness or the hilarity of faith in God, it is very easy to lose faith or to limit it to what we can see or explain even. You know when Noah built the ark? Before the rain. You know when Moses told the people to get ready? It was before the destructor of the firstborn went past. But the wonderful promise we have is that faith will be rewarded. Our circumstances, however good or however bad, may lead us to think that this is it. This is as bad as it's going to get, or this is as good as it's ever going to get. But faith says, this is not the end. Take the next step. There's more. There's more. In this life and in the next, our reward, growing closer to a God who loves us more than we can ever imagine. This reward is not just for me. It's not just my faith. It's not just my growth. It's not just my happiness and me getting to heaven one day. It's about everyone around me as well. Moses had faith in a better future, not just for him, but for the whole Israelite nation. A God-given future, a God-given vision, a future dependent on and glorifying him alone. And even though he never entered the promised land, he knew that the next generation will, as he received his reward in heaven. I want us all to just close our eyes and listen to these words from Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set out before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So whether you're a somebody, a nobody, or an intimate friend of God, or a crazy mix of all three, you can choose tonight to have faith that God loves you, that he cares for you, that he wants the best for you, which is a love relationship with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are good and kind and merciful and all-powerful. Thank you, Lord, that you know each one of us by name. Thank you, Father, that you do not leave us alone, that your promise is as true today as it was when you made them. Thank you, Father, for the example that Moses' life can give us and for the encouragement we can draw from him and from one another as we try to walk with you. And I ask but one thing tonight, Lord, and that is that by your Holy Spirit, you will guide each and every one of us from this moment forward. Lord, that you will speak into our ears and into our hearts and into our minds the things that are from you. That you will raise our faith, Lord, knowing that we'll never reach the top. We'll never outbelieve your great reward. We thank you again for your great love, Father. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.